So lest you think we're done with Tisha B'Av. Today's Chumash is yesterday's reading. I just have one more day to focus on this, I guess. It's quite a long reading, the second reading of Parshas Va'eschanan. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes into high gear in his sermon to the Jewish people. So in the fourth chapter, in the 25th verse, he begins to say that the future will not necessarily portend good things. Don't make the assumption that everything will be, it'll be okay, because it's been okay for this long, so it'll just keep being okay. At some point, God's patience is going to run out, and then we, the Jewish people, will be paying a very heavy price. Chapter 4, verse 25, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki soilid banim uvnei vanim. When you will give birth to children and children's children, generations. V'noishantem ba'aretz. The word v'noishantem literally means you'll get old. I suppose nobody wants to get old, so it's more like getting established. You know, you're kind of there already. You've been there this long. We're here. We no longer have to be concerned or worried. Things couldn't go wrong anymore. It's already set up. It's already permanently in place. V'hishchatem. And then you will behave very inappropriately. You'll veer from the path. V'asisem pesel t'munas koel. You'll make an image, all kinds, whatever image it might be. V'asisem hara be'inei Hashem alikecha. And you'll do that which is evil, wicked, in the eyes of the Lord your God. L'hachisoi, to incite or to anger him. So Rashi deals with the words v'noishantem. It's an unusual word. What does it mean, v'noishantem? What does it mean you need to get old? What is the point? What has Moshe been trying to say? But before that, I want to talk about ki soilid banim uvnei vanim. Why is this verse open with the idea that you will have children and children's children? Basically, the verse is saying that we're going to be in Israel for a long time. We'll think we're already established. Nobody can challenge us. We're here to stay. And therefore, we don't have to listen to Hashem. We can chart our own course. We can do our own thing. Big mistake. It's not going to work that way. But we might think so. But why does it open? Why does the verse open with the idea that we have children and children's children speaking about the blessing of offspring? So the Chizkuni talks about this very interestingly. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, obviously in the name of God, because everything Moshe Rabbeinu says in the name of God, but ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking through his own voice and reflecting his own concerns and anxiety for the future of the Jewish people. He says, it's not the parents I'm worried about, it's the children. The parents, they were still at Har Sinai. Even though these are the younger children, they weren't mature, they were under the age of 20, they were still minors, not majors. Nonetheless, amongst them, there are still many people who left Mitzrayim as children, and those memories would linger on. People who would have been at Har Sinai or have memories of Har Sinai from their childhood, the woman would remember it. They were there. There were women who were more mature also. They didn't die at the age of 60. And they saw Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course. A generation that sees the Rebbe, that's not such a worry. What happens, ki soilid banim, is be children. And then it's banim uvnei banim. Then it's the next generation. So you have a generation who didn't see Har Sinai, a generation who didn't see Moshe Rabbeinu, a generation who doesn't remember the Exodus firsthand, and so on and so forth. I mean, we're talking about 800 years. So it'd be many, many generations. That's the Chizkuni. That's what worries me. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm worried about the future. I'm not so worried about the present. I can impress upon all of you to follow what Hashem wants. And I think the reason Rashi doesn't talk about this is because in Pshut Lashon Mikra, to describe the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being worried about the children or children's children, when we're actually talking about 8.5 centuries later, is a little bit ridiculous. Children and children's children, we're talking 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 generations later. So that it should be the issue of banim v'nei banim. But so on a level of Pshut Lashon Mikra, Rashi doesn't feel a need to explain it, and certainly the answer or explanation of the Chizkuni is not going to work. But on a level of homily or drash, the message for us is, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not worried about the parents. I'm worried about the children. The next generation worries me. The Kli Yoker says, the reason we open with the idea of ki soilid banim uvnei banim is because offspring, children, are the greatest blessing. And we often take our blessings for granted. So what will happen is that some people will say, we have children, we have children's children, we have longevity, if not through years, we have longevity through our progeny. We're creating generations. And if we're getting so blessed, and if we have such families, could God really be angry with us? Does God really care? So we didn't do the right thing, so what? And at some point, people who do the wrong thing start to justify it. In fact, very early on, start justifying it. I've had conversations with people who said things to me like, God is bigger than the sticker on my hot dog. God doesn't need these like little things. God wants me to live a life of love and compassion and sensitivity, and spirituality, and that's what I do. And then you come with these niggling details like, my God is bigger than that.
Like, my God.
My dear friend, of course God is bigger than that, but you aren't. And God wants you to have a relationship with him. So God's making possibility for you to have a relationship with him, and you're thumbing your nose at him. You're saying, I don't want to have a relationship with you because you're my God. Well, my God, so therefore, I'm going to worship you as I please, not as you please. I'll do what I want, not what you want. It doesn't work that way. But this is the problem. Success goes to people's head. And the greatest success is not money. The greatest success is family. The greatest gift is not real estate. It's not residuals. The greatest gift is children and children's children. And so when you have that, a person could very easily think, now we're secure. We've got this far. We're good. We have nothing to worry about. Oh, you should worry. Don't think so. Because if it is going to be a vihishchatem, if you're going to corrupt, behave in a corrupt fashion, if you're going to start to create idols, if you're going to start to create isms, the idol doesn't have to be a clay, gold, silver, or wood statue. The idol can be an idea or ideal which is antithetical to God and his Torah, but you worship it. You create it as a new God. This is the new ism. This is the new ideals and ideas that we worship. This is what decency, this is what morality is about. A la 21st century, with all of its strange and new-fangled ideas of morality and decency, which are totally opposed to what the Torah says, but people worship with a blind faith and fervor that literally rivals people's dedication to Torah and mitzvahs. And this is idolatry. So when that happens, and then there'll be a vineshantim, then you get really established, then you get really comfortable, and you start to do these things, then you're going to be in trouble. And here Rashi enters, and he says, vineshantim. The word vineshantim, which literally means to get old, comfortable, established, Ramaz lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu, was subtly hinting and indicating to them that Yigla mimeno, you would be exiled from the land of Israel. Yes, I know Moshe says, I've been talking to you about 40 years for going there, and you don't want to go there, and you're finally ready to go there. But in the end, if you don't follow the straight and narrow, if you take it for granted, your luck will run out. Hashem's patience will only go so long. The worst thing we can ever do is take things for granted. Take people for granted. Take situations for granted. Take loyalty for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted. Then don't take your children for granted. Don't take your friends for granted. Don't take anything for granted. You need to work on everything. You need to make a commitment to everything. Don't take the gifts God gave you for granted. V'neshantem. And here, there's an indication that they would, in the end, be exiled because they took Israel for granted. They took it for granted that we're here forever. Nothing can ever dislodge us. And interestingly, Rashi says, when would this happen? L'seif sh'moyne me'ez v'chamishim v'shtayim shana. At the end of 850 years. 850 years, that would be the end.
Sorry, where does the 850 come from?
Where does the 850 come from? Communion, like the gematria of the word, vinoishantem. So if you count the gematria of Vav is 6, and Nun is 50, and Vav is 6, and then Shin is 300, and Nun is 50 again, and then we get a Tuf, which is 400, and then we add the Mem, which is 40, add it all up, you're an accountant. What do you get? Don't take my word. Never take anything for granted. But if Rashi tells it to you, you can.
Take it.
You can rest assured that it works. So this is it, my friends. This is where God's patience runs out. If you think everything's just going to be fine, I'll just continue to get God's blessings. I'm just going to be here. We're established. It's now, we're no longer, we've left the worry zone, the anxiety area, that we're no longer, we don't live there anymore. We have nothing to be worried about. No matter what we do, my Father in heaven will always love me. He will always take care of me. Everything is just going to be fine. Think again, big mistake. And that was what happened. However, Rashi notes something very interesting. We did not remain in the land of Israel for 852 years. How long did we remain in Israel for? 850. Only 850. So Rashi says, God is not subtracting from what he promised, just in an empty way. Didn't jip us, didn't take us, chop off for 2 years. I said 852, I'll give you 850. Be happy with that. No. Vehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his compassion, in his love, in his sensitivity, in his concern for us, Higdim, he made this happen early. Vehiglam, he exiled us, L'seif Shmoyne Meyas ve'chamishim shana. At the end of 850 years.
From what point do you count?
The Beis HaMikdash stood for how many years?
Sure.
410 years. How long were we in Eretz Yisrael from when we came till the Beis HaMikdash was built? 840 years. It's 440 years, pardon me. So 440 and 410 gives you a sum total of?
850.
That's how long you're in Eretz Yisrael for. Our initial original tenure, 850
years. From the
years.
Time that they crossed the Jordan
from
River?
From the time they crossed the Jordan River till the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was 850 years.
Okay. So what about those 2 years?
Nope. Why did he shortchange us, eh? Yeah. Why did he evict us early? V'higdim shtei shanim v'nishantim. Rashi says he evicted us 2 years before v'nishantim. Why? K'dei shelo yiskaimu behem, so that the rest of the verse would not be fulfilled in its fullness. What's the rest of the verse? The rest of the verse is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look now, verse 26. Let me give you a peek ahead. I call to witness today heaven and earth. Ki avoid toivedun. You will surely be lost. Maher, quickly, hastily. Me'alha aretz, from this land, asha'atem oivrim esayarden, that you're crossing the river. Shama, there. Lirishta, you're crossing the Jordan River in order to inherit the land. However, you will not be there for length of days. Ki, and now we have Hishomed Tishomedun. You will surely be destroyed. So the Torah says, using a double language, Avoid Toivedun, you will surely be lost. And the Torah says, Hishomed Tishomedun. Emphasis, twice. You will surely be destroyed. Now let's go back to Rashi. So Rashi says, Hashem didn't want the Vinashantim to be fulfilled in its fullness, because then the Aved Tevedun would have to be fulfilled in its fullness. And if the Aved Tevedun would be fulfilled in its fullness, we would be in big trouble. We would really get lost. We really would have been destroyed. And then the remnants would not have been able to come back. There would be nothing left. When the Eibishter, when Almighty God promises you Avei Tevedun, he can make an Avei Tevedun. If he says you're finished, you're finished. He says you're going to be destroyed, there'd be nothing left. But he didn't want to do that. So therefore, he said, I'm not going to do the Vinashantem, and because I won't do Vinashantem, I also won't do the Avei Tevedun. I'm going to, so to speak, roll back the promise.
So 1 year per...
Hold that thought. Excellent question. So it shouldn't be fulfilled, this promise, v'zeu shenemar, and this is what's spoken of in the book of Daniel, in Hashem's later prophecies, where it says, v'yishkeid Hashem al hara'ah, that God was diligent, following up, to make sure that the evil would come their way. V'yishkeid comes from the terminology of shkedim, of almonds, which is the fruit that ripens, reaches maturation most quickly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Almighty God said, I'm going to accelerate the process of this exile. Hashem brought this sorrow, the difficulty, the pain, the travail, the anguish, the exile upon us early. Why? Why did he do it? Because he hates us. Because he wants to harm us. Because he couldn't wait to get his hands on us and exact payment. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk finishes, Ki tzadik Hashem elikeinu, because God is righteous. He made things bad early on, sooner than necessary, because God is righteous. He punished us before he had to, because he's righteous. What does that mean? So where the explanation is, Asa tzedakah asa imanu, Hashem behaved charitably towards us, kindly towards us. Shemiher lahaviyam, that he quickly accelerated the process and hastily brought them into exile. Shtei shanim lifnei zmana, 2 years before the time. And so Moshe Rabbeinu calls to witness, as Rashi says, Haydesi b'chem hinini mazminam, I am now calling heaven and earthly as edim, she'esesi b'chem, that I have warned you. Why are you calling heaven and earth to witness? What do heaven and earth have that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I know that terrestrially I won't be here soon, but heaven and earth, they'll be here. So they'll outlast me. Rashbam says, we know there's this idea that when there's testimony that's given in a court, who carries out the punishment first? The witnesses have to actually carry out the punishment. If the witnesses give testimony in a murder case, the witnesses themselves have to be the one who, so to speak, pulled the trigger, even though there's no trigger. But they have to be the one to carry it out. So Rashbam says, that's right. When we behave badly, the punishment comes first in the land of Israel, before exile. What's that punishment? We say it every day in Hashma. The Atzaras HaShemayim, the heavens will restrain, be restrained, meaning there's no, will be no rainfall, no precipitation. V'adam alisit neshivula, and the earth will not give its bounty. So the GDP in Israel once upon a time used to be agricultural. And here, the witnesses will carry out punishment first. The heaven will stop giving rain, and the earth will stop giving its bounty. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the word Shamayim should be understood euphemistically. And it refers, we say heaven, or heavenly, or roll our eyes to the heaven. What are we talking about? God or angels? Angels in heaven. And he says, Ha'aretz, so Shamayim means Malachim. And Ha'aretz means humanity. Human history will bear testimony. The Malachim will bear testimony, and humankind will bear testimony that the Jewish people abandoned God, and because they abandoned God, God abandoned us, and we were exiled from the land and suffered terribly. And that, my dear friends, is the story of the eviction notice that we got by Moshe Rabbeinu. Before we entered the land, we got an eviction notice. Guys, you're not going to last if you take me for granted. But the question that our accountant is asking, why 2 years? 1 year, it would seem, should be sufficient for God not to keep his promise fully. Right? I would say 1 hour. Would you say, okay, a year? You want to say a year? Why 2 years? Nobody really answers this question until the Rebbe spoke about it. The Rebbe explained to us that the idea of the 1 year and 2 years actually follows Torah methodology in eviction notices and in real estate. And this is how it goes. Page Mem Ches in the Biurim book. Simon Dalad, yeah, the fourth entry in Parshat Veschanan. So Nathan, the Rebbe begins with your question. He says, Madu Ahigdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zagalus B'Shnasayim. Why 2 years early? Why not a year early? In order not to fulfill that which says in the verse, the Avete Vedun, the surely being lost, Dai Hoya, then at Lechayre, which should have been sufficient, Ba'akdomas HaGolos B'Shana Achas Bilvad. 1 year should have worked too. So the Rebbe's answer is that Rashi doesn't have to talk about this, because we already learned about this. The answer has already been given in the end of the book of Leviticus, that over there we have a parsha which is called Bahar. And in Parshas Bahar, in the 25th chapter of that book, in the 15th verse, it talks about people who might sell land of Israel. And then the land can be redeemed, and sometimes it can't be redeemed. And sometimes even if it's not redeemed, it'll go back to the original owners, and sometimes it won't. Depends on the circumstances. So we learned over there, Shahamecher Sada Lechavere, that a person who sells a field to another, in Yochel Lachzer Veligal Eisa, he cannot go back and, quote, redeem it, Kol oid le'avrush nasayim me'oz hamechira. This is the limitation. Even in a situation where I have the right to rescind the sale, I have the right, once I made money, to say, oh, forget it, I don't want to sell it. I want my land back. So you have a person, he's desperate, sells his real estate because he can't put bread on the table, and the next day, wins the lottery. He goes running to the person he sold it to, says, I want it back. Out! What are you talking about? You just sold this to me. I have the right to redeem it. I have the right to reclaim it. Remember, the land of Israel is supposed to go to its rightful owners. This is my ancestral residual. This is my home. The guy says, you sold it to me. So there are certain times when you can go back, and once you came into money and you're able to pay or redeem, you can do that right away. But there's a limitation. And the limitation is, the statute of limitations is 2 years. You've got to leave 2 years. Why? Hasiba l'kach muvenis. This is not like some parts of the Torah are, we call, you know, a chok. God said it. We don't understand it. This is like mishpatim. This is ordinances, laws that make sense. It's a gesund. Why? Here you have a person who went ahead and purchased a piece of real estate. He got himself a field. And he did it kedin. He did everything lawfully. So yesh la'afshel l'henesim menu. At least let him enjoy what he, let him have some benefit. He bought the field. The man bought it. There's costs associated. It's a big deal. Let him at least have some kind of business enjoyment without taking the field right away. So therefore, the meshech hazman hadorosh k'dei lahachzik besada lahafik v'meno te'elas, the minimum modicum amount of time that's necessary for a person to be able to utilize and actually benefit and enjoy the purchase of real estate that he made, if it's a field, k'dei lahachzik besada, that he, so to speak, establishes himself in this field, ulahafik v'meno te'elas, in order to be able to extract some kind of meaningful benefit, a benefit that te'elas shal mamash, the minimum amount of time is shnosayim, 2 years. From here we could learn that whenever it comes to holding on to a piece of land, less than 2 years is meaningless. Less than 2 years doesn't mean you never had the land. You rented it. You leased it. You were never there. A minimum amount of time to be able to have said, I once owned something, I benefited from something, I established myself, minimum amount of time is 2 years. Less than 2 years, it's like blink. It's a blink of an eye. It's not real.
Is it because when you plant, it's
easy? You have to plant, and you have to harvest, and the process of planting again and harvesting again. 2 years. I'll give you an example. In real estate, they say that if you don't own a house for 5 years, you can't justify the cost of what you pay your real estate agent and, you know, all the. That's the amount. That's the official amount of time. So if you know you're coming somewhere for less than 5 years, they say don't buy a house. It just pays to rent. The minimum amount of time to hold on to a house—that's what they say. I don't know. I'm assuming it's based on some kind of logic. There's a rhyme and reason to it. Mm-hmm. 5 years. So the Torah tells us when it comes to agriculture, because that was the primary focus of Eretz Yisrael, was not just having a place to put your head down at night or to play a roof over your head, but it was like land, to enjoy the land, to work the land, to till the land. Minimum is 2 years.
But Rabbi, isn't this the converse argument? If you're allowing the conquerors at least 2 years to enjoy the land, now they have more of a claim to the land as opposed to if it was less than a year.
Here's the interesting thing, Nathan. The conquerors, for some reason, never cared about the land. They just wanted to destroy us. They never cared about establishing the land. The land was in the end desolate, empty of inhabitants. And so it always has been. The conquerors of Israel never really established an independent land or state on our land, ever. It's one of the greatest miracles. 1,950 years later. Now, all of a sudden, they say, oh, 1 second, our Palestinian ancestral land. Really? Let's talk about your Palestinian ancestral land. Where was the capital of your ancestral Palestinian land? Where? Oh, Jerusalem is your capital? Really? Was Jordan illegally occupying the Palestinian capital until 1967? Oh, yeah. How come you never said anything about that then? How come you weren't blowing up Jordanian cafes? Because it's baloney, that's why. What was the currency?
I understand.
Israel was dominated by the Ottomans, and afterwards the British, and before that, the Byzantines, the Mamelukes. You can go. It never was a place of major settlement. There were always some people living there, military outposts. It was a plume in their cap, but it never was a land that they really settled. The only people ever to have really settled the land and lived there like that was the Jewish people. And they lived there much, the land was empty for much more than 2 years. It was empty for 70 years. Had we lived there for 851 years, which is almost the amount of the Neshantim, shy too, so haya hadavar nechshav, it would have been considered kiilu yashva b'mleya tkufa. Then legally, it already would have been considered as if we had lived there the full amount of time. Shekein hevdol shoshana achas, the distinction, the difference of 1 year, 1 year more, 1 year less, has no real meaning insofar as land is concerned. So it wouldn't have been as if we were evicted or rejected from the land early. If it was within a year, we would say we were just evicted from the land. So in order for that eviction to be a meaningful eviction, in order for the subtraction to be actually meaningful, it had to be by virtue of Torah law. Hashem follows the Torah. A minimum of 2 years. In order to restrain the situation, in order to ensure that we didn't have the fulfillment of Vinashantim, and in doing so, Limnoya, to withhold the fulfillment of Avei Tevedun, of being totally lost, it had to be preceded, it had to be accelerated, we had to do this early. How long? A minimum of Shnosayim, 2 years. So that our original settlement of the land of Israel lasted a sum total of 850 years, not 852. And so now we understand how and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't fulfill his original promise to us. That too was an act of kindness, that too was an act of care and consideration. As it says elsewhere, Shafach HaMasai Al Eitzim Va'avonim, God vented his fury on the stones, on the wood, on the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but not on the flesh and blood of the Jewish people. And so we did survive, we did bounce back, and that has been the story of our people. And hopefully, very, very speedily, and in our days, we'll finish all Avei Tevedons, all Ishami Tishamedons. We've had enough of that in the past. And we'll be Zeichem Yer Tzashem, that as we are now back in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, that this time we will never leave. And Mashiach Tzidkenu will finally bring us all home and rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. And never again will we observe Tisha B'Av mournfully. Next year it'll Mashiach be a big Yom Tif, because it'll be celebrated as Mashiach's birthday in Eretz Yisrael. And there'll be happy news and good things for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, and through that, for the whole wide world.